Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Just yesterday, as I write this, my fiancé and I celebrated the solstice and the Yule season in a mountain wood not far from our home in the Pennsylvania mountains. It was cold, and the sun had just set in a fantastic display of gilded fire. The woods became dark quickly, and we lit a candle as we took plants from our garden and a bird's nest from last spring, and found wood from the snowy forest floor, and formed them into a sun wheel, the symbol of the eternal cycles of life, the spiral that is everywhere embedded in nature, from the spinning galaxies, solar systems, storm systems, to the spiral structure of our DNA, and the spinning of subatomic particles that make up the fabric of the universe itself. Vanessa spoke words from the Edda about the birth of new life as the sun returns to the north. And I spoke of the solar observatories, which were also temples, made by members of our race all across Europe, beginning even before recorded history began. And of the Roman ruler Aurelian, millennia later, who established December 25th as the day of celebration of the birth of Sol Invictus, the invincible sun. The city of Orléans, in what is today France, was named for him. So Aurelian's name is also the source of the name of New Orleans, Louisiana. As we spoke and held hands, and celebrated the promise of new life to come, including especially the new life of our race for which we work, my thoughts turned to spring and to a lesson from nature that tells us much about what we are and where we are going. Just a few feet from where we stood in that dark mountain wood, down a narrow trail we have walked many times, there is a spring-fed pond in a wide meadow. Imagine now that winter has passed and the warm days have returned. In that pond is a tiny midge, an insect so small you can barely see it. That midge emerges from her egg and sails out into the sweet air of a spring morning. To the midge, it is the first spring, the only spring, the beginning of time. Her simple eyes can see the rising yellow sun as it evaporates the dew. The wind currents take the midge higher and higher, and she can see the clouds in the blue and across her pond to the edge of the dim green forest. What a marvelous life! What a fantastic universe has just been born. Noon arrives, and with it the mature heat of the day and the realization of her life's mission to mate and lay her eggs. She is filled with the pleasure and contentment of fulfilling that purpose, though she has no understanding of it. The warmth of the afternoon, her ardent dance of life, and her spending of herself in her true purpose has brought joy beyond all understanding to her. As evening falls, her energy is at a low ebb. The sun has fallen, and the once new universe seems to have grown old. Its energy is waning too, as light itself is dying, and the infinite space between pond and wood grows cold. Surely all is at an end, like the postulated entropy end of our universe. This is the end of hers. The midge lies down, sure that she has experienced all of time, from the beginning nearly to the end. And the end comes as her consciousness winks out less than 18 hours after it came into being. She had no knowledge of the millions of generations that came before her or will come after her. Her dim vision encompasses only the space between her pond and the trees, and she imagines it is the universe. Her life and her perception of time does not take in even a single day. She knows nothing of time before that day, and cannot imagine time after it. Yet reflect for a moment on how much greater is the midge's consciousness than that of the sightless, unconscious beings around her. In many ways, we are like that midge. The midge lives for less than a day. We as individuals live for less than a century. And a century in the long view is little more than a day. But our race and what our race can become is potentially immortal. We are a part of something greater than what we can yet imagine. We are a part of the emergent life of the universe. God coming into being, if you will. The living engine of new universes and realities being born, which we can but dimly see in the distance as the midge sees the forest across the water. Just as the midge is more conscious than the amoeba, we are far more conscious than our sightless companions, who have not yet seen the reality of the one purpose of our race. We are more conscious than those who are still mired in Jewish superstitions. And unlike that midge, we are aware, painfully aware, of the limitations of our consciousness. We have learned much, but the most ominous and awe-inspiring thing we have learned is how little we have learned. And the awesome responsibility we hold is this. We know that the only way to a fuller understanding of life, the only way to discover the unplumbed secrets of the universe, the only way to fully understand why we are here, and not least, the only way to ensure a life for our children and their children, and the only way to stave off ecological and cosmic disaster, is for our race to survive and to increase its consciousness, increase its knowledge, increase its capabilities. So we have a purpose. Vanessa and I have a purpose. You who are hearing my words have a purpose. The National Alliance and the community we have built has a purpose. The white race has a purpose. We should lovingly try to lift the best men and women of our race above their mistaken ideas and toward an understanding of who they really are and what it all means. We should treasure those of us who have achieved an understanding of race, even if their understanding is an imperfect one. When they fall, we should help them. There is something different, something special about white people. As imperfect as it is, we do have a deep respect for truth, for facts as distinct from opinions and feelings. We have what Dr. Pierce called a Faustian urge, a restless spirit which urges us to know all things, to master all things, to push the boundaries of knowledge ever farther. It is no coincidence that it was our race which developed the scientific method. And so I come to you, the people who are hearing my words right now. We are members of a very small minority so far among the men and women of our race. We are members of that most important segment of our race which has given us all the important advances we have made, the segment which thinks and acts outside of the herd instinct, and which has such respect for truth and our own ability to discover it that we are willing to risk a great deal to bring that truth to victory. When we do bring that truth to victory, we will put an end to our people's degradation. There will be no more gang rapes of Minnesota farm girls by blacks. Our women and girls will no longer be used in sick, degrading pornography by Jews. Our young men will no longer be sent to kill and be killed for the unworthy and dishonorable failed state of Israel, which exemplifies everything that is wrong with this world and which is the opposite of the future we want to build. Our young people will no longer be victimized by twisted, Semitic anti-souls, which now persuade them to mutilate their own bodies and end their bloodline forever. Our sacred lands will be cleansed of the invader, and we will build a new order the likes of which has never been seen before on earth, and which will extend beyond the bounds of earth to an infinite future. We will succeed in all these things because we alone, we of the National Alliance, are the only ones who fully grasp the implications that others only partially glimpse. We see the cosmic stakes and the eternal consequences. We see the infinite possibilities on the one side and the darkness of eternal night on the other. We see the pinnacle and the abyss. We see in sharp focus what Aurelian and the writers of the Edda, and even Shaw and Darwin, only saw dimly through the mist. And we know what we have to do. There was a time when publishing or uttering the cosmology of Galileo was illegal and would lead to imprisonment or death. But the essential truth of that cosmology was something that could not be contained. The implications of that truth were too powerful. The same was true for the ideas of Mendel and Darwin. The same is true for the ideas of racial integrity and progress. These ideas of ours are far too powerful to be contained, and the time of their suppression may be all the bloodier in consequence. But they will not be contained. The world we know, the world that European man has created for himself, as great as it is still a midge's world. The survival and progress of our race will take us beyond to infinities of which we cannot even now conceive. The failure to survive will mean death, the end. The end of what may be nature's last chance to do what only we can do. Everything depends on us. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face, and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. We need your help to keep this program on the air. Please send the largest contribution you can afford to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA, and learn how you can make your life count. Or visit natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, our postal address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you, when you look at the night sky, think of Orion. Our race is our nation.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies.